Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1955 with a release date of Friday, March 6, 2015, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham Radio comes to the aid of a crash victim of an Arkansas auto accident. The IARU Region 1 VHF newsletter charts the future of those very high bands. The ARRL asks its members to comment on its high-frequency band planning proposal and get ready for next summer's International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1955, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is this week's report.
Ham Radio turned out to be the hero after a road crash rescue Saturday morning, February 21st, on an Arkansas highway just south of the Missouri line. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, reports.
Jim Wong, N5CXP, lives in Baxter County, Arkansas. He said he has set out for the town of Mountain Home to get the truck he drives on weekends for Magnus Oil, but the roads were treacherously slick with ice, so he stopped on a hilltop where he had a cell phone signal and called the dispatcher to say he wasn't going to make it in. The dispatcher agreed, so Long turned around and was headed back home. That's when he came upon a car on its side at the bottom of the hill up against the guardrail. The driver, Ashley Miller, was also on her way to work when she hit a patch of black ice and felt the car spin out of control. She told a local newspaper that she had blood coming out of her head, but heard someone coming, so she honked her car horn, and they knew that someone would be in the damaged vehicle. Long heard the honking horn and a woman crying inside. 5CXP tried to open the door, but it was jammed. Then he had Miller try the car's moonroof that opened enough so that he could pry it the rest of the way. Miller said that he came through the roof, reached in, cut her seatbelt off. Then he helped pull her out and took Miller to his truck where he wrapped her in a blanket to keep her warm. The crash happened at a low point on the highway near the bottom of a creek where there wasn't any cellular service. So N5CXP used his 2B, the transceiver, to contact Hay Wessels, N9JSM, via the Mountain Home repeater, who called the local 911 emergency response number and reported the accident. Soon, a first responder from the Clark Ridge Fire Department arrived, followed by a Baxter County Sheriff's deputy and an ambulance. Miller was taken to Baxter Regional Medical Center in Mountain Home, where she was treated and then released. The full story, including information about the Amateur Radio Club of the Ozarks that Jim Long is a member of, can be found at tinyurl.com/arkansas-road-rescue. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF in Los Angeles.
Another example of ham radio coming through when all other lines of communications fail. Region 1 of the International Amateur Radio Union has released its latest VHF-UHF microwave newsletter that covers the International Telecommunications Union's 2015 World Radio Communication Conference. The newsletter says agenda items at WRC 2015 includes topics that could affect amateurs in the 5 MHz, 5 GHz, 10 GHz, 24 GHz, and 77 GHz bands. The newsletter notes that WRC 2015 also decides the agenda items for the next conference that's slated for 2019. IARU Region 1 has proposals in the European Conference of Postal and Telecommunications Administrations, or CEPT, concerning potential agenda items for a 50 MHz amateur satellite service allocation and also harmonization of spectrum at 3.4 GHz. There may be a need to raise the option of a new allocation, such as 1300 to 1310 MHz, in order to mitigate restrictions that are appearing in the existing 23-centimeter band. The complete newsletter can be found on the web at tinyurl.com/IARU-R1-VHF-65. Your opinion could help shape future amateur radio band plans. Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, explains.
The ARRL High Frequency Band Planning Committee is recommending band-by-band changes to the overall high frequency band plan and wants input from its members before April 19th. The proposed changes differentiate among automatically controlled digital stations known as ACDS, narrow RDI and data modes having a bandwidth no greater than 500 Hz, and wider data modes having a bandwidth up to 2700 Hz. Here are some of the highlights for the most popular bands. At 7 megahertz, the committee has concluded that it would be unrealistic to try to bring the ARRL 40-meter band plan into alignment with the rest of the world, specifically in regions 1 and 3, where 40-meter operating patterns developed when the entire band, including phone, was just 100 kilohertz wide and is still only 200 kilohertz. While 7040 kHz is a recognized RTTY and data DX frequency in the band plan, it believes that the best place for other RTTY and data activity in the United States is above 7070 kHz. For 20 meters, the committee suggests using the 1 kHz IARU-backed Northern California DX Foundation beacon network frequency at 14.0995 to 14.1005 MHz. This would be a dividing line between wide ACDS in the 14.1005 to 14.112 megahertz segment and narrow ACDS from 14.095 to 14.0995 megahertz. It also recommends 14.070 to 14.095 megahertz for RTTY and narrowband data, noting that so-called weak signal data modes are often used between 14.070 and 14.078 megahertz. On 15 meters, the committee recommends that 21.070 to 21.090 MHz for narrow RTTY data modes, the FCC-mandated ACDS segment of 21.090 to 21.100 MHz for both narrow and wide automatically controlled data station activity, and above 21.100 MHz for any additional wide data activity. The ARRL board also wants members to comment on the desirability of adding RTTY and data privileges for novices and technicians in their existing 15-meter segment, where they're now limited to CW. On 10 meters, the committee only recommends that wide data be confined to the FCC-mandated ACDS spectrum at 28.120 to 28.189 MHz be separated from narrow RTTY and data modes at 28.070 to 28.120 MHz. Proposals for the other high-frequency bands can be found in an article on the ARRL website at tinyurl.com/HF-bandplan-proposal. The League has also set up a web page at ARRL.org/bandplan, where members can comment. Those wishing to offer more detailed proposals may do so by email to bandplan@ARRL.org. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Topeka, Kansas.
In DX Upfront, VK0EK Heard Island Expedition organizer and leader, Dr. Robert Schmider, KK6EK, is completing a two-week multi-stop trip to New Zealand, Tasmania, and Australia. We get more on the story from Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Schmider was hosted for several days by team member Jackie Calvos at L3CW in Waihee Beach. They were able to meet with other radio amateurs who will provide support for the expedition, including ZL2IFB, ZL2DX, and ZL2AL. The latter will serve as a radio pilot for the de-expedition. In Christchurch, KK6EK met with Rodney Russ of Heritage Expeditions, which is providing the vessel. Heritage Expeditions indicated that they can help with certain facilities and logistics that will save the expedition some expenses. In Tasmania, KK6EK met with staff at the Australian Antarctic Division, which will issue the permits. The division indicated that the expedition can expect to receive permission to visit areas of the island normally off-limits to visitors, and to make collections of organisms and return with them for laboratory analysis. These activities are critical to the expedition's goal of discovering life in the extremes, so this step gives assurance that the major objective of the expedition can be met. Schmider reports that these meetings went very well, and there is every expectation that the expedition can go forward as planned. In particular, the contract for the vessel is in hand. According to Schmider, it is clear that this trip was an essential step to solidify the formal structure of the expedition and the coordination of the team. The next steps are to assemble the cargo, suit up the crew, and prepare for takeoff in November. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I am Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, reporting from Marybank, Nelson, in New Zealand.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N5YYU repeater serving Clinton, Arkansas. The FCC's Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau is seeking comment on a recommended set of six channels available nationwide for 700 megahertz deployable trunked systems. These channel sets were recommended by the National Public Safety Telecommunications Council and the National Regional Planning Council. As outlined in PS Docket 13-87 and WT Docket 02-378 in October of 2014, the Commission adopted a report and order revising certain rules governing the 700 MHz public safety narrowband channels. Specifically, the Commission released 24 12.5 kHz channels to the narrowband reserve to general use under the administration of the 700 MHz regional planning committees. This for benefit of state and local public safety licensees. Prior to taking further action on these recommendations, the Commission has now issued the public notice to solicit comments on the recommended sets of channels for deployable trunked systems. The full text of these proposals, including a chart of possible allocations, is at tinyurl.com/PJRFQ8U. Closing date to file comments is April 2nd, with reply comments due no later than April 17th. If you are in any way involved in emergency communications, you might find this of interest. Word that the FCC's Communications Security, Reliability, and Interoperability Council, also known as CSRIC, will meet on Wednesday, March 18th, to discuss a number of issues related to communications issues. The CSRIC is a federal advisory committee that provides recommendations to the Commission regarding best practices and actions the regulatory agency can take to help ensure security, reliability, and interoperability of commercial and public safety communication systems. This includes the reliability and security of communication systems and infrastructure, enhanced and next-generation 911 and emergency alerting. This is the seventh and final gathering under this CSRIC charter. At the meeting, three working groups will provide a report and recommendations for a council vote. These are Working Group 3 on Emergency Alerting Systems, Working Group 4 on Cybersecurity Risk Manage and Best Practices, and Working Group 7 on Legacy System Best Practices. Members of the general public may attend the meeting. The Commission says that it will also provide audio or video coverage of the meeting over the Internet from the FCC's webpage at www.fcc.gov/live. Each of the CSRIC working groups is described in more detail at tinyurl.com/OMR8VZK. The FCC's Enforcement Bureau has entered into a consent decree to resolve its investigation into whether Univision Local Media Incorporated or its station WXNY-FM aired Emergency Alert System, or EAS, tones during the January 28, 2014 episode of the Luis Jimenez Show. This in the absence of an actual emergency or authorized test of the EAS. To settle this matter, Univision admits that it misused the EAS tones, will implement a compliance plan, and will pay a $20,000 civil penalty. WXNY-FM is one of Univision's Spanish-language radio stations serving the New York City metropolitan area. Several of WXNY's disc jockeys, speaking in a mix of Spanish and English, played the tones during a comedy routine, at one point acknowledging it was illegal, but continuing to broadcast the tones. The station's use of the EAS tones in this manner violated statutory and regulatory prohibitions against the transmission of actual or simulated EAS tones absent an emergency or test of the system. The consent decree brings this matter to a close. There appears to be a partial solution to a mix-up with car license tags in and around Montgomery, Alabama, that includes those previously issued to some radio amateurs. We get the details from Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
In December, Anthony Harper got a ticket for a violation caught on camera in Montgomery. The ticket was mailed to him from a company in Arizona called American Traffic Solutions that monitors the cameras. The problem was that the car caught on camera does not belong to Harper. A close view of the tag shows it was the same number as Harper's. The director of the state's motor vehicle division says that the mix-ups happen occasionally when someone has an amateur radio or a civil air patrol tag. He explained that the call signs the FCC issues to some people may be the same as the tag that is already assigned and cannot be changed. However, in this case, these These were two different tag types. One was a disabled plate, the other an amateur radio call sign tag. When Harper tried to clear himself, American Traffic Solutions had problems getting the right person on the phone and then getting them to see the discrepancy. So after hearing several concerns about the company, the city of Montgomery is now looking to possibly add a Montgomery police telephone number to the tickets so those mistakenly receiving them don't get the runaround. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
This March edition of the American Legion magazine has a 2.5-page article on ham radio and another 1-page article entitled The American Legion and Ham Radio. The American Legion Amateur Radio Club is open to wartime military veterans who are both members of the Legion family and FCC-licensed amateur radio operators. More information and links to the article are at www.legion.org/hamradio. Free DV in the form of a plug-in to your radio encoder microphone is coming, but it won't be free. Codec 2 digital voice developer David Rowe, VK5DJR, has announced that the first batch of 100 model SM1000 units are being built in China right now, and shipping may start in late March. The SM1000 is an embedded hardware product that allows you to run the free DV system without a personal computer. Just plug it into your SSB or FM radio, and you now have digital voice capability. The unit is based on an STM32F4 microcontroller, has a built-in microphone, speaker, amplifier, is transformer isolated, and interfaces to your radio. It's just 80 by 100 millimeters and can be held in your hand and used like a regular push-to-talk microphone or set near your radio in a small box form factor. While no final price has been announced, it's believed that the unit will retail for under $200 in the United States, putting open-source digital voice within the reach of most hams. An article published in the United Kingdom newspaper, The Register, about inventor Guglielmo Marconi and his Pold Hoo Radio Laboratory contains an interview with radio amateur David Barlow, G3, PLE. Barlow is a warden, or administrator, at the Pold Hoo Marconi Center that these days houses modern radio equipment which can be used by licensed amateur operators. The author notes that the wardens like Barlow also take delight in demonstrating the 16,000-volt spark transmitter still at the center. The complete article can be found by using the search feature at www.theregister.co.uk. Radio amateurs in Poland have created a certificate commemorating the recent SSTV activity from the International Space Station on the occasion of the 80th anniversary of Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin's birthday. This certificate, dedicated to the first man in space, also coincides with the 85th anniversary of the Polish Amateur Radio Union, which was established February 24, 1930. If you wish to receive a printed version of the certificate printed with your name and call sign, first share your images received from the ISS by uploading them to tinyurl.com/ARISS, that's A-R-I-S-S, dash SSTV, dash upload. Once that's done, email a report to coordinator.aris@gmail.com describing your working conditions, equipment, and antennas used for reception of the signals from the ISS. Please mention your first and last names, your call sign, and your grid locator. Please note that some published photos will be possibly used in the future for educational purposes. If you publish pictures on the page, you automatically agree to this. The Radio Society of Great Britain advises that as of Sunday, March 8th, its GB2RS transmission at 1000 hours UTC from Germany will change frequency to 7.127 MHz. This change is being made to accommodate contest activity that competes for spectrum on the band. The 1030 UTC transmission of the news by GM3JIJ from the town of Stornoway on the Isle of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides of Scotland will continue on 7.150 as usual. This is Ham Radio News for today's radio amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. James Brooks, 9V1YC, has made available a video about the Amateur Radio World Radio Sport Team Championship 2014. The World Radio Sport Team Championship, better known as WRTC, is a competition between two-person teams of amateur radio operators testing their skills to make contacts with other radio amateurs around the world over a 24-hour period. Unlike most on-the-air competitions, all stations are required to use identical antennas from the same geographic region, eliminating all variables except operating ability. The show, produced in high definition, runs an hour. It's online at vimeo.com/11994758. NASA has released a set of sound files suitable for use as ringtones or computer notifications. One of them is the Morse code Hi messages picked up from the Juno instrument during the Earth flyby in 2013. Other tones include NASA sounds from historic space flights and current missions, including the roar of a space shuttle launch or Neil Armstrong's One Small Step for Man, One Giant Leap for Mankind every time you get a phone call. The tones are available in both MP3 as well as M4R format for iPhone users. The MP3s are at tinyurl.com/space-ringtones. The M4R files must be downloaded and imported via iTunes. The 30th Annual Applied Power Electronics Conference and Exposition is slated for March 15th through the 19th at the Charlotte Convention Center, Charlotte, North Carolina. APEC, as it's known, focuses on the practical and applied aspects of the power electronics business. In addition to displays, the show will present professional development courses taught by world-class experts, presentations of peer-reviewed technical papers covering a wide range of topics, as well as time to network and enjoy the company of fellow power electronics professionals. More information, including links to the technical presentations, is at www.apec-conf.org. Advance registration for those planning to attend the International DX Convention ends on April 8th, as we hear from Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN.
This year's program includes DX University in Contest Academy sessions, ARRL, DX in Contest forums, and a long list of DX and technical presentations, as well as an entire exhibition hall of displays and vendors. Gene Socrates, KC2IOV, will keynote the Saturday banquet. Socrates holds the Guinness World Record as the oldest woman to sail solo and nonstop around the world. The Sunday DX Convention Breakfast speaker will be Bob Alphen, K4UEE, who will talk on the recent K1N de-expedition to Navassa Island. Alphen also is scheduled to speak at the Friday Top Band Dinner about the team's 160-meter experiences. This year's 66th Annual International DX Convention is being sponsored by the Northern California DX Club. It will take place April 16th to the 19th at the Visalia Convention Center in Visalia, California. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN, in Topeka, Kansas.
More information is available on the convention website. You can find it in cyberspace at www.dxconvention.com. Four astronauts have recently passed their technician class license exams. Those who sat for their exams include Thomas Pesquet, KG5FYG, Jack Fisher, KG5FYH, David Saint-Jacques, KG5FYI, and Kathleen Rubens, PhD, KG5FYJ. Thomas Pesquet was selected as an ESA astronaut in May 2009. He will be leaving our planet for 6 months, November 2016, as a flight engineer for Expeditions 50 and 51, returning in May 2017. Jack Fisher was selected in July 2009 as a member of the 20th NASA astronaut class. He completed astronaut candidate training in July 2011. Saint-Jacques was selected in May 2009 by the Canadian Space Agency and moved to Houston to also be one of 14 members of the 20th NASA astronaut class, as was Dr. Rubens. She has been assigned as a flight engineer for ISS Expedition 48 and 49, launching in May of 2016. And with a last-minute announcement comes word that the next Radio Club of America breakfast gathering will take place from 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time on Thursday, March 19th, in conjunction with the 2015 International Wireless Communications Expo. The venue will be room N246 of the Las Vegas Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. This year's guest speaker will be Dr. Walt Magnuson, who has been the director of the Texas A&M Internet 2 Technology Evaluation Center since 2004. Reservations for this event are required prior to March 12th. A reservation form in PDF format, returnable by mail, fax, or email, can be downloaded at tinyurl.com/RCA-at-IWCE. You've all heard of Bluetooth, and some of you may be familiar with GoTenna. Now add a new communications device called BearTooth that adds VHF and UHF voice and data communications capability to smartphones. We get more from George Thomas, W5JDX.
According to its experimental license grant, WH2XLW, the BearTooth can operate anywhere in the 137 to 174 megahertz and 400 to 470 megahertz bands with an effective radiated power of 2 watts. According to ComSearch's FCC emission designation decoder, the license appears to cover amplitude modulation and phase modulation, transmitting voice, data, and telegraphy for automatic reception. The BearTooth unit is described as a software-defined radio receiver and transmitter that interfaces with supported devices and includes a battery to double smartphone battery life. Uses include personal communications, industrial communication services, and public safety. Since the device is an SDR with a wide frequency range, it not only supports the same type of personal communications provided by the recently introduced GoTenna, but also adds the ability to communicate with any analog radio operating on family radio service, general mobile radio service, or multi-use radio service spectrum. The device is said to be usable on the amateur 2-meter and 70-centimeter bands. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm George Thomas, W5JDX in Jackson, Mississippi.
BearTooth was introduced at the recent TechCrunch gathering looking at new and future communications devices. More is at www.beartooth.com. And finally this week...
It's pretty well known that here in Australia we have lots of lighthouses dotted around our vast coastline. There are also several in the lightship category, with up to 70 regularly active each August thanks to amateur radio. And many are a part of an event called International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend. And that's held every August. Starting the tradition here in Australia was the co-founder of International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend, the late Mike Dalrymple, Golf Mike 4, Sierra Uniform Charlie, who in 1998 was invited down under to join the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend festivities. Those also signing on included the Green Cape Lighthouse by VK2 SEA, the Australian Naval Amateur Radio Society by VK2 CE, VK7TS from Eddystone Point in Tasmania, and the Brisbane Amateur Radio Club operating VK4 BAR and VK4 RAN, both at the Queensland Maritime Museum. Why has Australia embraced this event with such fervour and enthusiasm? Well, initially there was some reluctance and misunderstanding by some lighthouse owners, but with lots of diplomacy explaining the fun event and the publicity that flowed from it, there was a decided positive change of attitude. Through a lot of the early hard work, the number of Australian stations has increased, with it peaking at 72 in 2012 and not that far behind since. Arch rival in the event is Germany, which also had 72 a year later in 2013, and the USA that had 93 to top the list last year. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB in Queensland, from the land of many lighthouses, Australia.
With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28 197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with producers Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF in Los Angeles, and Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Topeka, Kansas, plus our news team worldwide, I'm Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITV in La Quinta, California, saying 73 as always, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015, all rights reserved.